You may be seated. And I think we'll do that song at the end again, okay? We will. Well, you need faith stirred up in you. You need hope stirred up in you. You need joy stirred up in you. Absolutely. You know, just getting together with other believers does that. Hearing what God is doing, the tangible acts of our living God in bringing healing to your son, Gerald. What joy in your household, hey? What an increase of faith. And every time you share that story, someone else is going to need to hear that. And it's going to increase joy and hope and faith and strength. And you know, again, with the word testimony has to it, it's the sense of do it again. Do it again, Lord, do it again. So if God did that for you, he can do it for you. And he will do it for you. That's why the people, the nation of Israel, was told to rehearse before themselves, their children, often the acts of God. Because when Jesus parted the Red Sea, it was not only an escape route, it was a pathway to new life. And God needs to do that again and again and again in our lives. Some of us have Red Seas that need to be parted. Some of us have rivers that need to be crossed where it's a little fast flowing and lots of heavy water. And so we call on the God of heaven who does these things. These acts are recorded in the Word, and they continue to be recorded. The acts of God, the goodnesses of God. I think that's all part of learning to get in spiritual shape. Learning to become spiritually fit. Increasing our faith. Increasing our trust in God. And Pastor Randy, the last little bit, has done a great service to us in helping us understand some aspects of getting into spiritual shape, getting spiritually fit through the story of that dog race way up north. Some really amazing things there. Came across this week. It's about getting into shape, looking to build your character muscles. This one's talking about character, but it can apply to any aspect of our faith. Here are some exercises to avoid. Okay, here's some things to avoid. Jumping to conclusions. Okay? Passing the buck. Grabbing the credit. Throwing your weight around. Stretching the truth. Bending the rules, breaking your promises, pulling a fast one, stepping on others, dodging your duty, running off your mouth, and lifting what isn't yours. Those are some good things to avoid. You know, the do's and don'ts of exercising. That's just in the human nature, in the relational aspects of life, the personal growth side of life. Important things to avoid. Well, there's some things that we're supposed to engage in. I love the way Paul in the New Testament uses the analogy of getting yourself in shape and in staying in shape for the things that God has for each one of us to do. And I think that's a very personal thing. I also think it's a family thing. And I also think it's a church thing. Businesses do this all the time. I remember years ago, I don't know if they still do this, but I remember back even when I was in grade school, watching film strips about other cultures, and I think it was some Japanese large corporations and companies. They would actually have exercise times during the day for their employees, where they would come out onto kind of a square, and they would all engage in exercises together as a company team. They wanted their employees physically fit because they understood that when someone is physically fit, that helps to become mentally fit. And if people are mentally and physically fit, and when they do that together, they tend to work well together. You know what? Productivity goes up. Good things happen. And so it is in the body of Christ. God has some specific things for each one of us, and He wants to take us through a regimen of getting physically fit, spiritually fit, for the things that He wants to put in our path that we would pick up and run with it, and so please our Heavenly Father and bring great results for His kingdom. He also wants to do that with us as a church in these days. So some of these things you're going to put into your life personally. Some of these things we need to just do as a church together. And we continue to do these things together. Worship is one of those things, isn't it? To worship together. To pray together. To serve together. Those are all good things. How do you get in shape spiritually to fulfill your purpose? You know, God has good works for everyone to do. In 2 Timothy 3, it says this in 16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. You know, to pick up the Word of God isn't just to look for warm fuzzies. I remember hearing one time someone talk about how they had become a Christian of the underlined passages in their Bible. All of us underline or highlight our favorites. And they're usually passages and verses that make us feel really good. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But this person realized, I kept going to those places all the time and I was neglecting the rest of the counsel of God and His Word. And when it's we go to the whole counsel of God, sometimes He has to show us some things that are a little difficult. Some things that by the Spirit shine a light into our heart and exposes the darkness that might be there from time to time so that we bring it out into the light and have it fade away. Just like that cancer in Gerald's life. When that cancer is fading away and his body was fading away and it was dissipating from his body, it was difficult. There was a little bit of suffering with that. Sometimes it can be that way in our lives. When God shows us something that doesn't belong there, it needs to be extricated. Sometimes we just need to lay ourselves open before God and allow the Holy Spirit to do His surgery within our hearts. And it can be uncomfortable at times. But I'll tell you what, if we don't deal with those things, we drag things along. They can cause us problems. Those things in our lives, those sins that slow us down and everything else, can sometimes run us off course and wreck our lives. And so we submit ourselves to God. And so it says that all Scripture is good for us. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. God has good works lined up for every one of us and for us as a church collectively as well, corporately. That's why one of the reasons we have messages Sunday by Sunday by Sunday. We want to experience God's Word. We want to examine it and know what God is saying to us. And we want to experience the Word of life as we intersect with the written Word. We train and we prepare for something. Those good works that He has marked out for us to do. I don't know about you, but I want to be prepared to do those good works. Sometimes we see opportunities, great opportunities in front of us, and we see certain people that are called up and given those opportunities. And sometimes we might ask, why am I never given that opportunity? Why is someone else always getting those opportunities? Well, it may be because God has been taking that person through process, and that person has submitted him or herself to the process of getting ready for whatever God will have for them. And if all we're doing is looking at other people with envy, how come God's not choosing me? How come God's not choosing me? Instead of saying, why is God choosing them? What is He doing in their life? All those wishings will just remain nice ideas. We submit ourselves to a process. If you want to get into the Olympics, you need to do what the Olympians do to get into the Olympics. And it's a process. And sometimes it's a great cost to the individual Olympian, both financially. They put aside a lot of things in life to be able to run, to jump, to do whatever it is their particular field of expertise is, to compete in the highest level of competition physically in our earth. In 1 Timothy 4, the word says this to us. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Don't waste your time, verse 7 and following. Don't waste your time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. Train yourself. Train yourself. That word train in verse 7 is the word gymnazo, which is a Greek word. It literally means to exercise. Sounds sort of like gymnasium. Gymnazo, that's where we get the word gymnasium or gymnastics. Exercise. We exercise ourselves to be godly. And in many cases, that means going over the basics again and again and again and again to stay in shape. And again, those athletes that are at the top of their game, the thing they spend the most amount of time training in is going over the basics. Did you know that? Because if they fail at the basics, the fancy stuff will never come. It can't be counted on. It's the basics, the basics. And that word to struggle in verse 10, this is why we work hard and continue to struggle. That's a Greek word that means to strive, to fight, contend, to stay at it, to stay in the game, to struggle in the game, to stick with it, to keep grappling with the situations. And in Hebrews 12:1 tells us to run with endurance the race God has set before us. I love those analogies. Maybe I used to love those analogies when I was still a little younger, because I used to run. And I used to exercise more. And I used to do some of those things on a more regular basis. And you know, even through this, God has been telling me, okay, Larry, do the math. You know that when you exercise, you feel better. You know that when you spend good time with quality people, you are inspired. You know that when you do certain things, it produces good results every time. Doctors, and I know there's at least one here this morning, will tell us that exercise works 100% of the time to produce good benefits if we do it right, right? And that's one of the things that we need to understand. To build spiritual muscle, one of the things we need to keep in mind is that we need to use proper technique. It works in the physical as well as in the spiritual. Proper technique is important. When we were pastoring in North Central Alberta, I used to go to a swimming pool in a little tiny community, and often I'd be the only guy there, and it was kind of nice. I'd swim, and no one would bother me, and I didn't run the risk of embarrassing myself with how I swam. But one day, one of the lifeguards was watching me, and she came up to me as I was doing my lengths back and forth, and as I paused for a breath of air, she said, would it be okay with you if I could show you some technique? And I thought I was doing pretty good already, but sure, why not? So she told me, and she showed me, and explained, and then she had me try it, and then she watched for a bit, and then I asked her, how's that? And said, yeah, not bad, you're getting there, but try this and change this, tweak that. And as I began to put those things in my brain and into practice, guess what? I started to swim faster. I started to swim farther. I could last longer in the pool. And I felt stronger. I was more effective at what I thought was a good thing that I was doing. But I got better because I showed some proper technique. The same is true in our spiritual race. In 1 Corinthians, let's look to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's some tips for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 24. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So run with purpose in every step. Every step. Run with purpose. Run to win. Run to win. And I know that there are times when we are entering into a process, we may know that we will not win the top prize competing against the top athletes, but we're still going to do our best. And even those fledgling athletes, when they are training and they have an opportunity to compete against those who are stars in their areas of physical fitness, they still win, they still swim or run or jump or whatever the case is, like they're going to win. Because if they don't, they'll never advance to the next levels. If you never run, like you might win this race, you will never advance yourself. And you'll never get the spot to go for the top prizes. And in our spiritual life, we need to increase our measure of understanding and effectiveness with the Lord in our life, with the Word of God at our availability, as though our life and the lives of others depend on it. Run to win. Live your Christian life to win. When we discipline ourselves to stay away from things that aren't right and good for us, we sometimes smack, right? Face down. But that's when we get back up and we try it again. And we do so to win, because next time, now I know some other pitfalls, I'm going to avoid those things, because this is how I want to live. I want to win on top. Now, that doesn't mean we're in competition with each other. It means we want to apprehend all that God has for us. We want to take the resources that God has given to us and maximize those resources, maximize the Word of God, maximize the Holy Spirit's connectivity in our lives, the power and the presence of God in our lives, in order to truly make a difference in my life. And if I make a difference in my life, God makes a difference continually in my life, God will be making a difference in other people's lives too. Because they're going to see something in you that is very needful and real for their own lives. So we continue on. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 26. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not just beating the air. If you were ever a person who shadow boxed and beat the air, or you only practiced on one of those boxing things, what are they called? Punching bags. Yeah. If that's all you're working with, and every time you then have an opportunity to get into the ring with someone, and all you ever do is dance around that person and avoid and beat the air, you know what's going to happen? Probably the referee will call the fight and say, "This isn't even a fight. What are you doing in here? You're just dancing around and avoiding everything and beating the air." You know, I thought I was maybe half decent at boxing some years ago. Yeah, laugh. It's okay to laugh loud and long. When I was in Bible college, I had a set of boxing gloves, two pair. And I took them along. I thought, this will be fun. Guys in the dorm, we like to goof around, right? So some evenings we instituted this new thing where the guys would crowd into the dorm room and I would bring the boxing gloves out and I'd throw them in the middle. And whoever wanted to would pick up the gloves and they'd go at it for a bit. You know, there was maybe one or two bloody noses, but I had never gotten into the middle yet. And there's this one big guy, and I thought, I would just love to have a go with him. And so one day, I said, well, let's go. And he looked at me and says, no, I don't want to do this. In my naivety, I'm thinking, he doesn't want me to hurt him. Duh. So I said, let's do this. And so he finally consented to put the gloves on, and we're having a bit of fun, you know. But I knew that he wasn't really engaged. So I said, come on. And he said, you don't want me to do this. I said, come on, just give me a good shot, come on. And I'm thinking, I'm going to avoid this, not a problem. Well, he said, okay. Next thing I knew, I was on the ground gasping for breath because he knocked the wind out of me. I really didn't know boxing at all, turns out. And I was pretty reluctant to put the gloves on after that. I knew that wasn't for me. I was wasting my time. But you know, when it comes to spiritually engaging with the living God and doing the things that He's asking us to do, He wants us to make contact. Don't just beat the air. Don't just go to the odd church service and hear a nice sermon and hear some nice music. Engage. Engage in worship. During worship, look God full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will begin to disappear and you'll be seeing God in a new way. Interact with the Word of God. And like I said a few minutes earlier, if we don't engage honestly and fully with the whole Word of God, we're not going to grow very deep. Let the Word of God beat you up a little bit. And I mean that in a very good way. I mean that in a very positive way. You know, the Bible says that wounds from a friend can be trusted. And that's talking about human relationships. When sometimes another human being has to shoot straight with you and it kind of like, oh, ouch. But we needed to hear it. Let the Holy Spirit through the Word of God make an impact on you too. And work with it. Work with it. Be someone who is fully engaged, making contact with the things that God has put around you. Putting your faith into action. Seeking God for a son who's struggling with cancer, as we heard this morning. Not shrinking back and getting pulled into negative thinking, like you mentioned. That is so important. Because you know what happens? When those difficult things happen in life and we shrink back and all we look at is the what-ifs and the negatives and oh, look how bad and dark it is. We're the ones getting beat up. We're getting pulled out of the event. And God wants us fully engaged, no matter what things look like on the outside, because that's how our faith increases. You step into a ring with an opponent who's twice your size, your faith is either going to increase or you're going to turn tail and run. But when we step into the ring and that opponent is minuscule beside our God, and we know that His hand is guiding us, things change. That's a game changer. But we have to engage. Nothing is too big that you plus God cannot handle. But we need to get engaged. What is God asking you to engage with in these days? What is God showing you in these days? Previously, we talked about God speaking to us, hearing His voice. And some of you have been telling stories about what that's been like for you. The next step is to step out in faith. If God has been saying this, I need to step out. But I need to be prepared. Friday, I went to the event that Julie Lane highlighted for us. And Kevin Kavanaugh, is that his name? He talked about, he's a pastor in British Columbia, and how God really just laid it on his heart to engage with what's happening in our society relative to what the school systems are putting through and some of the teaching that is being inflicted on families and kids and what that's doing in some, they gave some specific examples. And they were going to have a meeting at their church, and the media got a hold of it, and suddenly they've got people railing against them. And the phone was ringing off the hook, and the staff in the church were getting a little concerned. Like, this could get ugly. And so he made a decision to cancel the event. And he said, at that time, I really think it was the right thing to do. He said, because actually our church wasn't ready for this yet. This could have really done some damage to us. We needed to go through a deeper process to prepare ourselves for some of those battles. And it may be that same way for some of you, that there may be something out there, and either it's an opportunity for growth and expansion, or it's an opportunity to come against the works of darkness. And remember, when we do that, we come with goodness and love and light. Prepare ourselves. In order to do that, we need to maintain our focus. Keep our eyes fixed on the prize. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. In Philippians 3:13, the scripture says, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. We got to have our focus in the right place. If God's calling you into some new adventure, new opportunity, if God is calling us as a church into new ventures together, we need to keep the main thing, and to look forward to see what lies ahead. That's so important. Athletes keep going over the basics, but they're always willing to hear from their coach ways that they can improve. Forward-looking. If I keep losing to another opponent in this particular area, what do I need to shift or change in order to overcome that opponent? I need to do something different. I need to do something new. I need to learn something. I need to put something else into my life. I need to get together with someone who can speak into me that I haven't had before. I need to learn everything I can in order to upgrade myself so that I can be successful to whatever God is calling me to do. This is not an invitation to just jump into something and flail and make a bunch of activity. At some point, you got to jump in and get engaged, but it's also about keeping our eyes in the right direction. As kids on the farm, I would sometimes invite friends out. And I had what we called a dune buggy. It was, I think, about a 1954 Austin Cambridge with the body taken off. And a steering wheel and a couple of seats in the engine. And we'd rip around the fields, do donuts everywhere and all kinds of things. Well, sometimes just for fun, the person with the steering wheel wouldn't operate the brakes and the gas. The other person would crouch down underneath, behind the firewall, and that person would be doing the gas and the brakes. And sometimes we'd even switch that up and say the person steering wouldn't be the person looking. And so it became a lot of fun, but sometimes right on the cusp of really stupid dangerous, because we might run into something that could have been really bad. Or you're driving down the street, and all you're doing is looking in the rearview mirror. What's behind me? What's behind me? What's behind me? I think my wife gets after me sometimes when I start muttering to myself as we're driving down the highway. What's your problem? Well, there's this guy behind me. So what? He's behind you. Drive ahead. Forget the guy. You know? And I get bent out of shape about that instead of keeping my eyes over here. Focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Some of us will never be able to move forward in our spiritual lives and gain strength and spiritual muscles and improve our spiritual conditioning until we let go of stuff from the past. And as difficult as that seems, it's possible. With God's help and the help and encouragement of other people to let go of those things, drop them, and move ahead. Hebrews 12 says, throwing off everything that hinders and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Throwing off, letting go of those things that hinder us. And sometimes that ends up being other people, honestly. Sometimes we've allowed associations, their words, their negativity, their take on life, which keeps derailing you from moving forward because you keep listening to the junk. That doesn't mean we don't care about those people, but it means that sometimes we need to untether ourselves from their influence and let go, or at least spend less time, and choose to move ahead in your faith. Choose to spend time in your word. When your friends think that's a waste of time, when they think prayer is a waste of time, when they think getting together with the body of Christians to worship and learn and grow together is a waste of time, it's okay to say, you know, I'm going to take a little hiatus from this relationship. And perhaps at some juncture they will see that you've changed. And there are good things, that God's blessing is starting to do something in your life. And they will say, hey, can I join you next time? I've heard those stories often. And then don't quit. Don't quit. To be fit for God's calling in your life, you've got to have relentless determination. I mean, relentless, dogged determination. The devil is against us. He doesn't want to see good things for you in your own personal life or in your family life. He doesn't want to see good things take place in your work experiences, in your relationships. He doesn't want to see good things take place within the body of Christ, wherever people meet as far as a church is concerned. That's why we have to have relentless determination to stay with. And I know that I've had many of those occasions when, you know, I've had a good start and an exercise program. No, I don't do the gym membership thing in January, but, you know, I've determined I want to look like Chuck Atlas. So you get started, and then all of a sudden things get busy, and it falls away, and you never achieve those things. Don't worry, I don't want to become Chuck Atlas. It's not my thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 and following, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Even in this life, up until the time we pass away, the present troubles only last for a brief time. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. When we pour our attentiveness into seeking God and finding God and experiencing God in increasing measure, that puts a deposit into our life, not only for this life, but for the life to come. I think part of our challenge is that we have put so much stock in the here and now. So we get into a program. You want to learn Spanish. So you buy the CD set or hire a Spanish teacher and you find out, this is tedious. It's not coming as fast. And so you just drop it. And 3 weeks ago, Terry and I were in Mexico and wished I would have known more Spanish. I think I only knew one word, si. So what did we do? 2 days, we took the Spanish lessons offered at the resort. I can count to 10 in Spanish now. I practiced with Pastor Oscar on Friday when I saw him at a meeting. He had a big Spanish smile on his face. That's spurring me on. Part of the reason is we met some Spanish people from Mexico. This is what God does for us and in our lives. I couldn't speak Spanish, they couldn't speak English, but in the midst of trying to communicate, it's like God just showed me how much He loves them. And I don't know if they're a part of a Christian congregation or not. But in the middle of the night, down in Mexico, I woke up one night, and I had this fun dream about doing ministry in Mexico and other places. And I woke up the next morning, and I thought, God, can I go there sometime? And it's like God is saying, you better learn Spanish. What kinds of things is God showing you? And are you willing to put in the time to develop yourself so that God can take you to that place that He's put on your mind? So that you can achieve those things that He's put on your heart? Regardless of the suffering that might be involved, or the time that it might take, or the finances that it might take, to prepare yourself for what God is speaking to you. Be spiritually fit. And we know that we don't just get there and we've got it. It's a day-by-day exercising the things that we already know to do. Ingest the Word of God. This is the right diet. This is that element that you were talking about. This is what cleanses us. This is what gives us strength. Prayer. Earnest, honest prayer. Stepping out in faith when God speaks to us. And it starts with the little things. It's all those little things that are actually huge. Because that one little thing adds to another little thing. Can we have the worship team come up? We're going to sing this song again. And while we're singing, I'm just going to throw the invitation open. George and Isabel, would you come up here? And Matt and Cheryl, can you come up as well? And this is just an opportunity. Spiritual fitness. Commit yourself to dig in and grow. Put yourself in the company of others who can help you in that process. Stay with it. Don't give up. God wants to produce a great harvest of amazing things in your life and in the life of this church. And we need to be spiritually fit. And we can enjoy that process together, right? There's nothing like getting together for a robust Bible study, iron sharpening iron, and then stepping out in faith and serving together in ways that God is calling us to serve. Expecting to win. Expecting that there will be good results from putting in the effort. And God has been doing that already. He's always been doing that. Let's stand together and let's sing. And as we're singing, if you would just want someone to pray with you, maybe you are facing something, and maybe you don't quite have the faith for that yet, but you want someone else to agree with you. Hey, I need to win in this area. Can you pray with me? You come up to one of these couples, and they will gladly pray with you. Do you need healing in some fashion in your life? You come up and pray with these people. Do you need to meet Jesus this morning? Do you need to come and say, hey, if that's who God really is, and if Jesus is really his son, and his blood was shed for me, for forgiveness and strength and purpose in life, I need to know this Jesus. You come and meet with one of these couples. And Terry, I'm going to ask you to come and join me too. And we'll pray with you. We'll bless you. But let's sing together. And as we sing towards the end of the song, you'll be dismissed. Let's sing together.